ever just felt like something wasn't right and you needed to check it out? You ever done that before? And it was just like, I don't know what, it just seemed like it's okay, but I just need to go check this thing out. You ever had that happen? Did it ever turn out good for you? Yeah, yeah. I had that happen a couple of weeks ago, and I use grills sometimes, and I had a grill that I had used a day before, so it was like 24 hours ago, and the ash are in there, and I want to use it again, but I'm doing something else. You ever do two, three? How many people in the room do three things at the same time? Come on. And I just like to go everywhere at the same time. I just don't know where to start, right? And just in the process of my mind, I know I got five things to do. And I go, I got 30 seconds here. Let me clean this grill out. And then after a while, I'll put some more charcoal in it. And I'm getting ready to leave the house. And I go, I don't know what it was, but I just remember something wasn't right about me cleaning the grill. I really didn't even know what it was. I ran back downstairs, and I thought, I'm just going to do a double check. I did a double check, and there was, I don't know how I did it. I have grills that are meant to hold heat on purpose for long periods of time, but there was one little part of a burnt piece of wood about this big. At 24 hours ago, the grill was shut off. And my dad said, if you're not going to be smart, you got to be strong. And if you're stupid, you're going to hurt. Learn how to handle hurt. And so being not as intelligent as I should have been, I had put the coals in a plastic bucket. Everybody's looking at me because you're like smarter than me because you know that's not smart. And what had happened was one piece of coal like this had stayed alive. It was a Lazarus coal. It stayed alive. And when I ran back downstairs, because that's how I travel, when I came back downstairs, that little coal had melted part of my plastic. Guess what starts rushing in then? Wind. Guess what air and coals will do? They'll burn plastic buckets. If you don't check on plastic buckets that are burning on your porch and you have rubber mats all over your porch, guess what will happen to the rubber mats? Just run it through your mind with me. And when the rubber mats catch on fire, what's going to happen to the wood and the siding of the house? Now, your wife, she don't care if you burn a blue bucket. She really don't care if you burn padding. You go to burning siding, she will have an opinion. What actually could have happened is, I'm not playing. If I'd have ran out and been gone, Dennis, for an hour and came back, literally my house could have been inflamed. You know that little check in your spirit? That's almost like an impression. I want to say many times that is the Holy Spirit. That's what it feels like when the Holy Spirit's talking to you. It's like this strange impression that you wouldn't have thought about that. There's no reason to do it that way. Okay? So here's what I did. I'm taking my hands. I go with coals that are cold, and one little fellow down in there, he ain't died yet, and he just almost killed my family. Do you understand that? And so I wished great harm upon him, and I took a water bottle that was in my hand, and I'm a preacher. I baptized him, and then I took him out to my fire ring, and I buried him. He'd been dead for 24 hours, but he resurrected. And now I drowned him to death. And I took him out to my fire ring, yay, where hence he could bother no one anymore. And I ran around for a few more minutes, and I looked out toward the lake, and he had caught the brush that was in my firing. He had caught the brush on fire, and the brush is burning out of my firing. I got to go do something else. And now I got to wait around for that stupid fire to go out. And I'm looking at it, and I'm laughing at me. And I go, I wish I was a Christian like that. That there was a fire inside me that no environment could contain. How about if the devil just tried to drown me and I just came up out of the drowning and burned something else? That'd be a good day, right? John Wesley said this. Anybody ever heard of the Methodist Church? Wesleyan Church. What else? Methodist, Wesleyan. Nazarene. You ever heard of Nazarene Church? Yeah. The father of all those folks is a guy by the name of John Wesley. And here's what he said. Here's what his view in life. He said, God set me on fire. That was his major prayer. That's not really hard, is it? God set me on fire. And here's point two. He was a method guy, so he had points. God set me on fire. And then here's point two. If God will set a man on fire, people will come to watch him burn. What would it be like if God had a people that the fire in them could not be put out? It didn't matter what environment you put them in. My little coal inside of my Texas offset grill, he said, I don't care if everybody else burns out. I ain't burning out. My mom, I'm a little past 40 now, and my mom will still look at me and get tired. And she remembers, and she'll just be sitting there, and she'll look, and she's done this to Molly like a couple of times. She goes, when he was a kid, he never slept. And what that meant was that if I was awake, there was potential for challenges in the house. So she had to be up. How about if you as a Christian, me as a Christian, we as a church, just said, I don't care if other people go to sleep. I ain't going to sleep. I don't care if other people burn out. I don't care if other people are distracted. I'm going to be on fire. What about if God had a people in the nations of the earth that had unquenchable devotion to him, unquenchable intensity in their spirit? Last week, we called it, and I'm just going to tell you, my little flame, he was only about this big. I thought I killed him twice. He didn't die. So when he caught the wood pile on fire, I said, you go, boy. I'm just going to sit here. I ain't trying to put you out anymore. You are the man, okay? Do you know that it only takes, you guys are from the 70s, it only takes a spark to, yeah, do you know that that's absolutely true? How about if God had a people or an individual that had a fire inside their soul that could not be quenched by anything? Well, he has had people like that from the time he started saving people. I found a couple of them in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 16. I want to show you their story just a minute. You turn to Acts 16. We'll get there. We're going to review last week. There are four positions that someone's soul can have. Last week we talked about it. You could be dark or impoverished on the inside. And what's another option? Dark, impoverished on the inside, and dark, impoverished on the outside. Or you could be dark and impoverished on the inside and look like you have life on the outside. You could have lots of money. You could have prosperity externally and poverty internally. There are people like that. Do you know in my lifetime, things are changing now and music evolved into rap, and then there was no music anymore. Just my opinion, don't get mad. But the classic rocker, somebody give me an amen. Do you know that many of them died before they were 30 years old? The classic rockers, many of them died before they were 30 years old, 29. Do you know why? The majority of those that were rich, famous, soulish, the majority of them that died, died at their own hand. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, I'll go on. And then I could switch over into movie stars and start going there. And here's what you would say. They had everything they wanted on the outside, and they were what? Impoverished on the inside. Then you could have the opposite. I've seen the opposite many, many times. You could be alive on the inside and impoverished on the outside. I've seen that in 3 or 4 different countries in the world. I've seen it in my own life where you had more month than you had money, where things were not exactly perfect out here, but on the inside you knew God was God. He was taking care of you. I have seen Africans dancing in the dirt with brittle clothes or about to just break off because they've never been washed, or if they've been washed, they just got dirty before they were put back on, and they had absolutely nothing but faces smiling with their eyes, faces beaming, giving glory to God because their happy wasn't attached to their circumstance. You know what was going on? They were prosperous on the inside, even though they were impoverished on the outside. So 3 states people could be. What is it? Dark and light, light and dark. That's the way we say it. Or you could be light and light. That's where I'm shooting, guys. I want to be a happy millionaire. People say money can't buy you happiness. I said let me give it a try on me. It'll be okay. I think I can handle it, right? And it might not happen on this earth, but I know that it eventually will happen for everyone here. Is you're going to be, the bad thing about heaven is everybody's got a lot of money, so you're just not going to stand out there either, okay? I heard a guy. Here's how most people think. You die, you go to heaven, you stand at the gate, Pete comes out with his scales. St. Peter at the Golden Gate, he comes out with his scales. And if your good outweighs your bad while you're on the earth, he'll open the door and let you in. That's how most people think, right? It's absolutely not true. The entrance to the gate of heaven is Jesus Christ. That's why he called himself the door, right? But there was a story about a guy, he tried to sneak Midas, he tried to sneak some of his gold when he died. They said, you can't take it with you. He put some in his pocket. He gets up to the gate, and he's got his little gold, and Pete asks him, what's that? And the guy pulls it out reluctantly, and Pete said, well, why you got gravel? Because from Pete's perspective, the Bible says the streets were made of gold, right? And so here's what I know. I know it is the ultimate will of God that you prosper in all ways. And the blessing of the Lord, here's what the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord on you will cause you to prosper in every way, okay? And I'm going to talk about 2 of the states that people live in. One is the guy that has everything he needs on the outside, but on the inside he's impoverished. And I want you to know that there are people that are born again that choose that state in life. They're walking with God. God blesses them. In the blessing of the Lord, they sow into the world. They don't sow to their spirit. Their spirit becomes impoverished as they become more and more wealthy, more and more successful, more and more light on the outside. It gets darker and darker on the inside. Anybody ever known anybody like that? The Bible calls them backsliders. Here's the good news. The Bible says any backslider can return to the Lord. That's good news. But sometimes what will happen, even though someone's born again, they will, Paul calls it, they will sow to the flesh. They will sow to the flesh, of the flesh, reap destruction, and not so. And so they look good on the outside, but on the inside they're emaciated. Sarah McLaughlin's dogs on the commercial that gets you to give money, right? That's what they look like on the inside. And then there are other people that you look at them on the outside and you go, there's not much there. You look in their eyes and you go, they know something I don't know. There's something about them. I call it intercessor eyes. I call people that hang out with God have a different look in their eye than anybody else on the planet. There is a strength and a prosperity internally in them that's different just because they have encounter with God. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to show you those four people in a metaphorical way in the story of Paul and Silas. You guys remember Paul and Silas? Why'd they go to jail? We might not even have to read it. Collectively, we may know the whole story. Okay, why did Paul and Silas go to jail? Do you remember in that passage in Acts 16? Anybody remember? It's a Jeopardy question. My wife's she's my greatest cheerleader. And we watched Jeopardy. And maybe three times during Jeopardy, I'll know an answer. And if I know the answer before the people do, she claps for me. It's just our little encouragement. I want to watch one before it comes on, know all the answers, and just watch her clap for a half an hour. I know the answer. His name's Jesus. Okay. Paul and Silas. Oh, I forgot where I was going, but it was Jeopardy. Paul and Silas end up going to jail. Do you remember why they went to jail? And then I did dirk, and then we go, I don't know the answer. Okay. That's the one. There's a woman that has a demon. That means demons do have powers. The demon gives her revelation on particular things. It tells them what stock's going to do well. Oh, boys, these guys are betting on the stock that she says this one will do well. They're getting rich. Paul and Silas come to town. Now watch, I'm telling you, sometimes people are influenced by the enemy that's to their destruction, but other people are benefiting off of it. The other people do not want them to get well because they are benefiting off of the pain and the problem of the person. You want me to be smart, Ellie? Drug companies. No, okay, I won't. There are times that somebody doesn't want somebody to get well because it's to their advantage. Does that make sense? But Paul and Silas see the girl, not the demon, see who she is, not what she can do. They see her go free. Guys didn't like it, right, Dan? Put them in jail. Before they put them in jail, what'd they do to them? Beat them up and then put them in jail. Now watch this. Then they called the jailer in and said, dude, I know you got the night off, supposed to be playing Xbox with your kids. Xbox probably dates me. You're supposed to be playing with your kids, but we got special prisoners in today that we need you to come into work tonight. That was the jailer. Huh? And then who's in the prison with them? Prisoners. Now, do you know first century Middle Eastern prison system? You might not know what that's like. Let me tell you what they don't have. Bedding. They don't bring you bedding. If somebody else brings you bedding, guess what? Bubba next door going to take it from you. And there's really not anything you can do about it. Here's the second thing they don't have. They do not have state-supplied food. The only way you eat, somebody brings it in. If somebody brings in your food, you better eat it quickly because guess what? Somebody else is going to take it, right? So you don't have bedding. You don't have food. You don't have recreation. You don't have humane conditions. So what's the state of the guys that are in there? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. There's metaphorical, but you can take the metaphorical and run it through the scripture. There are three things in scripture that are curses. It means the dark means you don't have any insight. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. It's a curse. Jesus is called the light that comes into the darkness. Bondage means you cannot make decisions or your decisions are very few. If you only have so much money, you can only buy so much stuff. That's poverty. If I take it to its nth degree, if you don't have enough money, you can't buy enough stuff, and you can only buy one thing, rice. as many of the nations of the earth. You can't make decisions. You don't have decisions. You're in bondage. In the scripture, darkness and bondage and a tight place. God goes, I've given you a lot of decisions. You made the wrong one. I'm going to combine you to a few decisions. I'm going to bring people in. They're going to hold you in bondage because of your sin, and you're not going to be able to make your own decisions. Other people will make decisions for you. Does that make sense? So darkness, bondage, and a type. In the Bible, a blessing is a wide place. I'm trying to bless the Lord with a wide place. It's in the Bible. That's what blessing means. A wide place. Light decisions. Look, there are a bunch of people thrown, Acts 16, into a place where it's dark, they're in bondage, and they can't make decisions. Nobody in there can make a decision. Why is the jailer there? Why is the jailer there? I told you a few minutes ago. His boss calls him in, says, you got to work today. Watch this. Those prisoners get out, you lose your life. Guys, here's what I want you to know. That man right there had bad things happen to him, and he became suicidal in a moment in time. He is a successful man. He is the head of the jail. He has money. He has status. He has a good family. They have good clothes. And in 5 seconds, he becomes suicidal and is ready to die. And had not a Christian stepped between him and his sword, he would have been dead when there was no problem. Anxiety will tell you there are problems where there are no problems, and people will kill themselves. And there is no problem. It was a deception. It was a bondage. They felt like they had no decisions. They're in the dark in a tight place with nowhere to go and nothing to do. And the darkness comes over them on the inside. And they say the only option is suicide. There's a guy like that. And Dennis, he was successful on the outside. He had light out here. He has prosperity out here. What do you have on the inside? Poverty. And the minute a problem comes up, his poverty leaks out. Isn't that interesting? What about the prisoners? The prisoners are dark inside and outside. Dude is dark on the inside, light on the outside. Paul and Silas are what? Light on the inside, dark on the outside. Paul and Silas are my little chunk of coal. And what they say is, I don't care who else burns out. I ain't burning out. I don't care who else gives up. I ain't giving up. I don't care who else is captured by the culture. There's a fire on the inside of me that the culture can't capture. And I will not be stopped. I will not be silenced. I will not be altered. I will not be distracted. There is a presence on the inside of me that is greater than any environment you can put me in. You cannot alter me by an environment. Isn't that interesting? You want to say, what were they doing? So they get beat up. People around here probably seen some schoolyard fights. Here's a schoolyard fight. You talk a bunch of trash, you swing, you miss, you shove, a teacher shows up, and we had a fight. You have an alley fight, only one of you is leaving the alley. It's a whole different fight. When you have a culture that does not honor people, especially not prisoners, and they give you a beating, guess what? You're getting a beating. They strip their back. That's what it says. And Paul later writes about it. He goes, I got scars in my body from that instance. So here he is, bent over, chains on him. What time was it? It's in the Bible. You guys remember? We'll read it in just a minute. You're right, it was midnight. How dark is it outside at midnight? How dark is it inside the prison, inner prison at midnight? I took a lady to, Uganda is on the, Africa's on the equator. On the equator, the sun goes from up to down in about 5 minutes. And so you don't have the, what we have is the fading beauty and the fading beauty. In Uganda, you go from glory to no glory. And in the morning, no glory to glory. And no electricity. And I took a friend of mine, and she goes, and they have electricity for us in the evening. And so she goes to the bathroom and bed and gets ready and all like that, gets in her bed, electricity is on. She got her little night light. In the middle of the night, they turn the electricity off. They're saving power. Then I'm not talking about your grandma turning the electricity off. I'm talking about the nation turns the electricity off. It's not generating. And she wakes up. She had never been where it was that dark before ever in her life. There is no light. The stars weren't out that day. That night, there is no light. And she put her hand in front of her face, and she couldn't see her hand, and she screamed. Me and another guy in the room next to her, she, her sister and her sister wakes up to the scream. She goes, "I thought I went blind. I looked and I couldn't see. I've never in my life looked and couldn't see." Paul and Silas in the prison are beat up, tied up, bound up, and they look and they cannot see. That's how dark it is. They didn't have this. They never seen Las Vegas before. The only thing they had ever seen is a fire and a piece of cloth burning with oil. That's it. And they don't even have that. Somebody say dark with me. Come on, help me. Dark. What's the circumstance? Everybody's there. Prisoners are there. Paul and Silas are there. Jailer's there. Jailer looks good on the outside, broken on the inside. Prisoners, broken on the inside. See, guys, look, some people in prison shouldn't be there. I'm going to tell you, I have sinned myself into confining circumstances. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've done things that were wrong that got me caught for being wrong, and now all of a sudden I'm in a confining circumstance. Nobody else. Jesus, thank you for these wonderful people. Now, you, all of us have, haven't we? Let me tell you something else. There are sometimes people do not do anything wrong. It does not take two to fight. People go, "Well, it must be partly your fault. It takes two to tango." Tell the dude in the ditch in the Good Samaritan story that it takes two to tango. Tell the little girl, 8 years old, raped by her father, it takes two to tango. It does not take two to tango. It takes one person and a demon. And there were people that are in that room that do not deserve to be in that room. Guys, Joseph was in prison. Did he tango? The reason he was in prison is what? He refused to tango. You ever read the story? Did Joseph do anything wrong? Was he in prison? Did it hurt? Was it his fault? No. Now here's the question. Can you burn when it's not your fault? What you gonna do when the devil pours water on you when you're just trying to be good and burn in the middle of the dark in bondage? What will be your response? And he knows that most of the time you'll just stop burning. Don't you want to be like Paul? Nah. One scripture, and we'll be at halftime. You guys want to take a halftime break? No, I want to get to one point. I want to show you something. It's amazing. This point is completely amazing. It's one of the most amazing. I want to show you an amazing point and an amazing question. Real simple point. The point's amazing. The question is more amazing than the point. So I got 2 points. One of them is a point. One of them is a question. Here's the point. When they had laid many stripes on them, somebody say many. Mm-hmm. With what? My dad one time said, anybody else dad make them get their own switch? You guys were raised different. We're down in the South, they do things different. My dad said, yeah. So I was about 11, 12, something like that. And I go, I know my dad would never hurt me. And so I want to get out of this spanking. And so I brought him a stick. It was looked like a baseball bat. I brought him a stick. Dad, I know I've been bad. And I brought it to him. And he looked at me because I knew you're not going to hurt me, Lucas. My dad looked at me and he goes, well, if you're man enough to bring it to me, I'm man enough to use it on you. Oh, I got all kinds of different choices now. No, let me go find another stick. Guys, it is not a game. These guys are beaten physically. When you get beat up physically, what happens to you mentally? Isn't it true? Have you ever just woke up one day, it was good, and somewhere in the middle of the day, all hell broke loose? I mean, it just got really bad outside. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, they got every bit of that in one place. Now it's the dark and it's not even their fault. Come on. And they go, I'm just a little cold, but I'm gonna burn. Huh? Let's see what they do. Commanded jailer, that command, that's when they called him in. His cell phone beeped. What? Dude, you got to come now. We got two very bad prisoners. What have they been doing? Oh, they've been casting demons out of people. They're just like really bad guys. Okay. Having received subject charge, you put them in the inner prison. That means prisons have two or three sections. The inner prison just has more walls and guards. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were and then praising, but they were communicating with God, not allowing the devil to communicate with them. Some people are in prisons because they did it themselves. Some people are in prisons because somebody else put them there. Some people are in prison because the devil did it. It's Revelation 2:10, and it says, and the devil will throw some of you into prison. Wasn't their fault. Sometimes somebody else just did it. From the moment somebody else did it, the cloud falls on them, and they are in the cloud they do not deserve to be in. Watch this. Paul and Silas prayed. Now, that doesn't mean they think prayed. It means they prayed because the other guys heard them. I'll give you 3 points. This is the message. We are called to help people to move to light in their lives. That's the call of Christianity. Wherever we find somebody is to see them move from their bondage, their confinement, their brokenness, their torture, and watch them move to where they're free on the inside and free on the outside. That's the call of Christianity. It is accomplished. I set it up. I'm going to preach the message, then I'll give you an ending. It is accomplished by prayer. God legislates life on earth by prayer. When God wants something in the earth, he calls somebody to pray for it. God moves leaders by the prayers of the people. It's in the Bible. History belongs to the intercessor. As long as I'm worried about what's going on with me, I'm not thinking about you. When I am thinking about you, I'm not so influenced about what's going on with me. Now, Paul and Silas, broken backed, bondage, can't make choices, didn't do anything wrong. In the midst of the environment, three kinds of prayer, and serve, and I'll get to a landing. Put on your seatbelt, we're about to land the plane. Three ways I pray. One is I just pray to God. Just me and God. Two, I pray for you. I pray to God, I have a relationship with God, and now I leverage that relationship for the good of somebody else. I pray to God, I pray for God, for you, and then number three, I pray with you. There are times where Jesus said, Father, I know you always hear me, and I'm not praying. It's John 11. I'm not praying so you'll hear me. I'm praying so they will hear me. And when I go raise Lazarus from the dead, they're going to know that it is your power because I'm going to pray to you before I do it. John 11. Jesus said, I'm not praying so you'll hear me. I'm praying so they'll hear me. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. But when the answer comes, if they had not heard the prayer, they don't know where to give the credit. So Paul and Silas are in jail, beat up, praying. Who do you think they're praying for? I can show you in a minute, it's easy. Who do you think they are praying for? If it was me, I would be praying for me. Lord, my back hurts. That one dude hit me in the head. Could you heal this? No, oh no, I couldn't rub my hands together, could I? Lord, would you? And I'll tell you by the question. I tell you what they were praying for by the question that the guard asked. But let's watch it. They're praying and praising, in a prison, praying and singing. The prisoners were... Aha, watch this. Prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. I pray to God. I pray just, I want to be a guy that can pray that shakes other people's world. Come on, Jim, right? Even if I can't run around and talk a lot, am confined in a circumstance like it, I can still pray, and that prayer can have an effect that causes the bondage on them to break, causes their darkness to lift, causes a change to fall. It's real. It's right here. Were they praying out loud? How do I know they were praying out loud? Huh? Prisoners are, you can't listen to thoughts. You can't read my thoughts. You don't know if I'm praying for you or not. But if I pray out loud, do you know I'm praying for you or not? Yes. And sing. Did you see anybody agree with Larry this morning when we're worshiping? And Ron, you're standing up here. Do you agree with him? Would you amen what he said? He goes, and he's going through a tough time. His wife's in the hospital, very serious surgery, all like that. He took time out of his life to come here to help lead you in worship out of sacrifice this morning. And he's up here, and he goes, and let me interpret what he said. The atmosphere just changed when we were singing. What he said was, the atmosphere was one way, we started worshiping, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere that we were in changed because we started worshiping God. Let me tell you something. There might not have been a torch, but inside that prison, there was a burning in the spirit that could not be quenched, and the atmosphere changed. Here's how I know. There was an earthquake. That's pretty atmospheric. And here's the biggest miracle of the whole thing. You got a bunch of killer, rapist, prisoners that when the walls fell down and the chains fell off, none of them ran. I promise you, go to the courthouse today, the county jail, knock a hole in the wall and all the guards out. Let's see how quick it takes for the prison to empty. If I was there, me too. Huh? Do you know that not one prisoner left? Do you know why? They had never seen somebody that was prosperous on the inside. They had never felt the atmosphere of a prison change because somebody started worshiping. And they go, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. Come on. They're just like you. Just a little charcoal. That says you ain't putting me, ain't no ash gonna put me out, ain't no water gonna put me out. All I need is a little wind from the Holy Spirit to blow on me, and I will engulf. All right. Right before you land the plane, there was some turbulence. Turbulence is here. We're going to have to take another lap around the airport. No, I'm kidding you. Here you go. Now, I we'll tell you this next week. We'll take this story, go a little deeper at the end of it. This is the first convert Paul ever has. Paul starts a church here. That church grows to about 12,000 people in Philippi. And the first convert is this jailer. Think that's a good story? Anybody ever read the book of Philippians? Oh, that was written in a prison in Rome. Paul was a frequent flyer to prisons. He is in prison in Rome and writes back to the church in Philippi. Let me make it real for you. There's only a few people in that church that can read. Guess who one of the people that can read in the Philippian church is? Philippian jailer. Guess who the first convert is? So when Paul writes from Rome 12 years, 13 years later and sends a letter to the Philippian church that now has 10,000 people, guess who gets to read it to the congregation maybe? The first convert. That's interesting. Okay, here we go. He's saying, suddenly there's a great earthquake, foundations of prison are shaken, immediately all the doors were open, and I want to pray like that, I don't care how bad your chains are, somebody contacted God, and God removed the chains that were binding your life, because somebody had a relationship with God that was deep enough and strong enough that there was a release of power when they prayed that had never been released until they prayed. You were in bondage until they prayed, and they were hurting when they prayed, and they had circumstances when they prayed, and they were in the same darkness you're in when they prayed. But when they prayed, the place was shaken and the bondages fell off. Not off one or two. Come on. Come on. Who wants that kind of equity with God? So, Lucas, if that was the answer to the prayer, who were they praying for? We act like it's some crazy thing. It's actually a simple thing. I'm in prison with Melissa. What kind of sin could Melissa do? I can't even imagine that, Melissa in prison. What in the world could Melissa do to get in prison? Melissa is in prison. I pray Melissa's chains fall off. When Melissa heard me praying for her, I ain't going nowhere. If the God he prayed to broke my chains, that's the God I want to know. Here you go. The keeper of the prison, the wheels are down on the plane. Okay, here you go. Keeper of the prison, he was asleep. Why? He has guards, he has walls. I'm just here, rubber stamp a thing. They need my signature. Let me go take a nap, go home in the morning. But earthquake comes, he wakes up, all the doors are open, all the chains are on the ground. He drew his sword, about to kill himself. Anybody know why? Yeah. He has to serve their sentence if they get loose under his charge. So he goes, I ain't spending the rest of my life in prison. What am I going to do? Yeah. When you feel like there's no hope for tomorrow and you will spend the rest of your life in a prison, you will become suicidal. Watch. Paul said, hey, dude. That's in Greek. Don't hurt yourself. Then he called for a light, got a flashlight, torch in England, comes running in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be Where in the world does somebody from Philippi with 1,000 different gods that demand 1,000 different sacrifices to appease them. Where in the world does that man hear a word called sozo? That word sozo means to be made whole, body, soul, spirit. All the prisoners are listening to a duet. All the prison walls are broken down. All the chains are off. And he walks in to them singing and praying to their God. And all the prisoners are rested more by that power than they are the prison. And he goes, what must I do to get? How do you hear the word saved? What's the word saved mean? How is it a mystery in his mind? Why would he even use the language? Next week, let me unpack it. It's because they prayed for him to be saved, even though he just beat. Because he was dead on the inside. And he knew it. And they were alive on the inside. And he knew it. Yeah. We need a fresh fire from the Holy Spirit that is so burning and unquenchable inside us that we cannot be put in an environment that can put it out. It begins to burn, to grow, to inflame, and to empower coming out of us. That environments we come into are changed by the reality. Isn't that an encouraging thought from the scripture? I'd like to pray something for us. Molly and I'll be down here. You go, I'd like a little bit further prayer on that. We'll be here for that. But I just want to pray for us in this room. A worship team will come and we will worship together. Father, I thank you for a fire that's unquenchable. It may lie dormant for a little bit. It may look like it goes down. It may seem like it's not intense. But one breath from your mouth can cause it to inflame. I pray for that for those of us that know you. And Lord, I stand before you and stand in this scripture for those under the sound of my voice in the place where this will go that are under bondages. They cannot break their chains. They can't get free from their confinements. They want to leave. They cannot leave because forces hold them there. We pray for people like that right now. We ask that you would break the walls and that you would break the chains. We pray that the freedom that's in your world would become the freedom that's in their heart. We pray the decisions and the confinement would be broken, shattered, to step into the fullness of the blessing that comes from freedom in Christ. Declare that you came to destroy the works of the devil, and you have destroyed them. And may that power cause freedom from those that have been constricted by him. We pray right now that you would release a blessing that causes a soul prosperity according to your own word. That which is overwhelming is overcome. Mm-hmm. by your great name. As we worship you, as we honor you, as the atmosphere of that worship is in this place, we pray the freedom that is in your word and by your spirit would be here. Would you give us a fresh anointing, a fresh infilling, a fresh empowering, a fresh leading of your spirit? I just think about my wife, and she goes, I love it when the Spirit hovers, but I long for when he falls. And Lord, we thank you for the hovering of the Spirit throughout this service. We don't even know how to explain it when we talk about it with one another. That hovering is great, but we long for you to just fall in power among us, to set free, to save, to overcome. We come to the name that's possible in the mighty name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing. If you'd like prayer, we'll be here to pray for you.